Hey, I'm Micah.
And I'm Jen.
From 1994 to 1996, Jen lived in the middle of nowhere, Montana.
But not by choice.
She was sent to a therapeutic boarding school.
I had some issues.
While there, she performed hard labor.
There was also a lot of forced exercise.
Went through daily, hours-long group therapy.
That shit didn't work.
And when she left, she was left with some holes in her life.
Holes?
One of the holes was her pop culture hole.
Yeah, I missed a lot of shit.
And that's a hole we can fill.
So watch out for that 69 caliber musket ball.
Nice.
It's time for...
I never saw that. Okay, passengers. Make sure you're up. Your seats are in the full upright position. And your tray tables are fastened.
Wow, you nailed that.
Is that how that... is it fastened?
It's kind of like that, except they don't have the big pauses where they're looking for the right words. And,
yeah. Hey, everybody, we're back.
We're back.
Happy holidays to you all. We took a little holiday break.
Hope you had a really good holiday break, too. I don't know what holidays you celebrate or what you were doing, but we hope you got some rest and some relaxation and some family time and some drinking and some eating of sweet treats and family dinners and... whatever.
Yeah, okay.
All the things.
Great. Great stuff. So we're jumping back into Northern Exposure. Season 6, episode 7, full upright position. That's why I did that spot on flight attendant.
Yeah, that was
thing
really
at the
good.
Beginning.
Really good.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we're covering two episodes at a time, just to remind you guys. I know it's been a while. Our last episode was Mixed Nuts.
Hell yeah, it was.
But we're back on Northern Exposure.
Yeah.
Season 6 is what we're watching, and
which is the final season, by the way.
This is episode 7.
It was on while I was in Montana.
And episode 8, that's what we're going to talk about. So we're, just to make very clear here, we're 7 episodes into the season, and there are something like 92 episodes this season, I believe.
Like 20.
And this episode sucked.
I think we'll probably do another break or two in here.
We're real fucking tired of this show already.
Well, I'm not tired of the show. However, when we watched these two episodes, this episode, Full Upright Position, was one of the worst things I've ever... What the fuck?
It was so boring.
I was so bored. I don't really even want to talk about it. I feel like we could mostly skip over it. Like, we can say a little bit, like... Okay, hold on. Let me back up.
Is that, I'm sorry, is that how you make a beeping sound?
Well, it was that time.
That's when someone says make
like
a
always.
Beeping sound,
yeah.
That's what you do? Like really breathy
what,
and in the back of
like,
your throat?
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, just say.
Yeah, you're right. That's better.
We need to do something before we don't talk about episode 7. Of Northern Exposure Season 6.
Oh, you're gonna do that first?
Yeah.
Okay, take your pants off.
See you in the funny papers.
See you in the funny papers.
See you in the funny papers.
All right, we forgot once again that this isn't the sex podcast, so now we're gonna do See you in the funny papers.
It's always the sex podcast.
Oh, don't give it away.
If you think about it.
Don't think about it. Okay, today, October 13th, 1994, what we do here is we recap all of the comics of all time, just between 1994 and 1996 that Jen missed. What's happening?
What's happening?
This week, we're going to talk about one we've done before, and it's a really...
Wait.
Oh,
well, sorry,
okay.
Go ahead.
Are you going to guess?
I'm going to guess, but say the thing you were going to say first.
It's a really weird one.
It's a really weird one.
It's a really weird one. We've done it once before.
Do you mean the comic strip is always really weird?
Yep.
Or, oh,
yep.
And we've only done it once. See, because my guess is always going to be Ziggy. But so if it's not Ziggy, I give up.
But you will be happy to know it's only 2 panels.
Uh-huh. And it's, what is it? Marmaduke? Marmaduke was the very first one we did.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm always looking for Marmaduke, but it's hard to find.
Marmaduke.
If
that's
anyone
hard to say.
Has a Marmaduke... like archive that
or
they're
like poster
holding out on me.
Yeah,
with.
Or like
send them to me, please.
Underwear.
Because I want to see. I don't want to see your Marmaduke underwears.
I mean, that'd be cool though.
Nope. None of that would be cool.
I'd like to see them.
Nope.
I mean, honestly, now I'm deadly serious. If any of you,
If you own Marmaduke underwear,
fucking Marmaduke
by
underwear,
some weird,
and you don't show it to us, I will be so upset. Please,
I think you have to. If you have Marmaduke underwear, and we just brought it up, and you're the only person that has ever owned a pair of Marmaduke underwear in the history of mankind,
or I mean, underwear related to any of the comics that we cover, you know, newspaper comic strips. Is that even is that a thing? Is there underwear?
It's a pretty niche product, I think.
I think so.
Niche?
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 That's the one way I've never heard that word said. It's niche or niche,
yeah,
but not
I said it
niche.
The wrong way.
It's niche.
Oh, hello. Our son Elliot just walked into the room.
Hi.
So he wanted to share his opinion about the pronunciation of that word.
Can I have a bagel?
Yes, son. You can have a bagel.
It's niche.
Okay,
bye.
Go have a bagel.
Niche, niche, niche. You could say that, right?
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche? That is, I mean, it is pretty nihilistic, I guess, to wear Marmaduke underpants.
I usually say niche. But anyway.
Okay, anyway.
The way you said it is just like the only way I've never heard it said
Fusco
before.
Brothers.
Fusco Brothers.
It's Fusco Brothers.
Okay, don't remember. I mean, it rings a bell, but I don't remember
So there's
anything
four brothers
about it.
And a dog, I think. Axel is the dog. There's Rolf, two other brothers, and Lars. Lars is in this one. They're always trying to date. They're going on dates. One of them's
each
married.
Each other?
No, they're trying
that
to date.
That is pretty edgy.
They're
for
dating other people. They're trying to date
women.
So
they're dating each other and other people. So it's like
no,
an open...
No, it's not an incest open relationship thing, Jen. It's four brothers. One's married, I think. The other three are always going on dates
okay.
with women
I apologize.
That aren't related to them.
Yeah.
This one's about Lars.
Ooh, Lars.
Lars is on a date. Two panels. First panel, on the left, we see a woman, and she's wearing a shirt, like a striped shirt, with like the cuffs on the t-shirt and the ring around the collar match, you know? Like those shirts that have like a colored ring around the...
Yeah.
The cuffs and the
what?
Collar.
Wait, what? Yes. No.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
And it has stripes and there's she has a wine glass in front of her. So they're at a bar. She has... Well, let's just start with a nose because that's where we always start.
A giant nose.
Well, there's a whole Picasso thing going on here. Her nose is huge. It's flat on the bottom. It goes out. Kind of a nice gradual round 45 degree angle turn and it comes back up. into her eyeball.
Ooh.
So she's looking, we're like on the other side of the bar, and she's looking at Lars to
wait.
Her left.
Wait, so she's always looking at her own nose? Like it's like...
No, I don't think she could see it because, well, I don't know. No, she could see it because it's real long, so it sticks out there. But she's looking to her left. We're seeing like the front of her body, her torso...
Okay.
With a wine glass on the bar in front of her. Her
sure.
head's turned to the left. So she's like a profile of her face, though.
Uh-huh.
But not the eyes. The eyes are two eyes dead center in the middle of her head that we're looking at. So
okay.
it's like a Picasso type
okay.
situation a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
So she has two eyes on one side of her long nose, and she's looking over her nose to Lars right now.
I mean, she sounds attractive. I'm going to
yeah.
say, like,
yeah.
this sounds like Lars... Picked a good lady here.
Yeah, there could be another eye on the other side of the nose. I just can't see it. So she has short black
Wait,
hair.
You're saying there could be three eyes?
I don't know what's on the other side of that thing, but I know there are two eyes.
Okay.
And a nose. Maybe her nose just goes sideways. I don't know. Maybe she's looking straight at me. It just looks like she's looking at Lars. She has short black hair. It's unkempt, just kind of sticking out everywhere, mm-hmm. you know? Lars is in a suit and tie.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to need to see this one for real because
no.
I need to see that nose and eye combination.
I know it's been a while, but...
I know, but listen, I also have a question, and that is, you described her hair as unkempt. Is it like a cute pixie cut sort of thing, though? Or
it's
is
not
it
a
like
pixie
she
cut.
Looks like she's supposed to be a mess?
It's just shaggy and sticks out. You'll understand in a second.
So she's a mess. She's supposed
not
to
really.
Be.
Not really a mess, but okay. just you'll understand. Lars has a suit on. His hair is, man, it's weird. so he's got big, thick eyebrows, no neck, head just goes down into shoulders. But he does have a necktie on. Don't know how that works. He has little ears, little tiny ears sticking out. They're just little half circles. I just see one, but he's looking over at the lady he's with. And his hair on the sides, it looks kind of normal, like just short hair, stops above the ears, kind of maybe curves out a little bit to show a little body, you know?
Okay. But
then above the thick eyebrows, there's a whole bunch of forehead and a straight line and hair like slicked back, but it's like big and up, but not in a cool way. Not like newscaster, like straight up and then curved back, you know?
Yeah.
This is like...
I'm picturing like
a weird pile of hair that goes back straight down the middle.
Like real greased up, sort of like stereotypically mafia dude kind of thing. Is that?
It's not, it doesn't look that good. It's not like the straight up, like bouffant type thing. It's just like piled back. And it's all white. It's just like
just
laid
has
back.
A lot of hair.
It's weird, but
it's white.
It doesn't look like there's a lot of hair. I mean, I don't know what color it is really because it's black and white, like newspaper style.
Yeah, but it's weird that. It would be white.
Yeah, it's not colored in or shaded or anything. It's really strange. Okay, so this is the one. Fusco Brothers, I think I described it last time. It's really dark. Like, the background is dark, and there are thick, like, pen lines behind them, except, like, right around them it's white, but it's supposed to be, like, shadowy behind them, like they're in a dark bar. The artwork's kind of interesting. It reminds me of... The art kind of reminds me of Sylvia. I think it was called Sylvia. Do you remember seeing that?
No.
Also dark, thick lines. Mm-hmm. And the woman's face was like that kind of where it was like Picasso-ish. Mm-hmm. Picasso-ish? Wow.
What's going on with your pronunciation
I don't know.
Tonight?
It's bad. Okay. So anyway, they're sitting at a bar looking at each other. And this woman says, "No, I'm sorry, but I can't go out with you." And Lars says, "Why not?" And Lars has a mug of beer in front of him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Not important, but I just mention that. Second panel, are you ready?
Oh, my God. It's seriously wild that we've only been talking about the first panel this entire fucking time.
Well, it's only two panels, so we're halfway done.
No, we're so much
Goodness.
More than halfway done.
All right.
Don't worry, everybody.
Second panel, it's a tighter shot, close up, just their heads. And so we can see now this woman still has two eyes on one side of her face. One is like right at the bridge of her nose. Very heavy lids. She's looking at Lars. Full lips, you know, shaggy hair, short, shaggy hair. And she says to Lars, "Well, I'm from Generation X." That's in quotes. "I'm from Generation X.
Love it.
And you appear to be from Generation Ox." That's the correct response to that. Anticipation.
Like, we're really about to go somewhere cool.
And they didn't. Generation Ox.
What does that mean? He looks like an
he's
ox?
Big?
Like he looks like a...
I don't know.
I was so excited that you picked one that's like Gen X, you know?
He's and a then, big dumb ox? I don't know. He's have no idea.
He's a big dumb ox? Or like, is it somehow commentary on the fact that he's old? Older than her?
Maybe. I don't know.
What the fuck, dude?
Another thing that Fusco Brothers does that I have to describe. So Lars's face, he just looks kind of nonplussed. That's like the standard resting face of comic strip characters.
Nonplussed.
I think. Just like, you know?
Uh-huh.
But on his head, Fusco Brothers likes to do this. I feel like the end of every comic strip I've seen of this strip ends with exclamation points and question marks on people's heads. So
sure.
There's no thought bubble or anything. It's just a big, bold, thick exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point. That's what he's thinking. He's like, what?
He's just so confused.
Generation Ox?
As we all are. I mean, it actually, like, that response makes sense to me because that's exactly how I feel. The fuck is Generation Ox? I thought she was going to be like, you know, okay, boomer, basically, or, you know, something like that, like something funny.
Well, you know, oxes, boomers or oxen? I don't know. Cows? He's pulling a
What's
wagon.
What's before boomers? The silent generation?
The greatest generation?
No, the silent. Well, some people call them the greatest generation, but they're the silent generation, aren't they? Isn't that what they're called? Or is that before the greatest
that's
generation?
After. That's way older.
Anyway, I'm just trying to tie an ox to any of those, and there's
no
tie that I
it doesn't
can
make
find.
It one generation X has an X in it. And so
right?
They did is add an O in front of that.
I got
So it's the same sound.
I got that.
But a different meaning.
Why?
Nobody knows
because
what the
no
meaning
one
is.
Calls people like ox is not a word that you use to describe a person.
Well, like a big dumb ox.
Do people say that a lot? Did people say that?
From 1994 to 1996.
From August 1994 to August. Okay, that makes sense.
Like
then.
People that looked kind of old and weren't like, you know, your same generation.
They were like, ah, the big dumb ox.
Yeah, like they didn't fit in with what Generation X stereotypes were supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
He looks a little older.
Yeah. Okay, we are so far beyond done with this.
Yep.
See you in the funny paper soon.
Okay, 30-second synopsis. Are you ready? You going to time me?
Oh, God. I forgot.
I'm going to do it. I can do it. I
forgot we were going to do that.
Season 6, wait. Episode 7, full upright position.
Okay, go.
So there are three things going on in this. Joel and Maggie are supposed to fly to St. Petersburg, Russia for a conference, and they're on a plane. Maurice, his like cousin or nephew or something, comes into town and is going to take over his business and he's going to train him. And the other thing is Chris gets like enamored with electricity and does dumb shit and nothing happens and it's weird. And then he levitates at the end in a bathtub. How much time I got? I still have time left.
You have 5 seconds.
I did
seconds.
It. I said all we need to say about this
that
one.
Actually,
it sucks. At the
you're
end,
totally
Joel
right.
and Maggie get engaged.
Wow, you said the only important thing that happens, like just about outside the time.
Yeah.
But
they get in a huge fight on the plane. It's fucking dumb and boring. They don't go
it's
to
very
St.
Boring.
Petersburg.
They're
because...
supposed to go to Russia. The plane never takes off because communism.
Yeah.
And because everything is shitty.
The plane's old and broken.
And Russian people are
stoic and
stoic
stolid.
And
that's what he says.
Just go with things and they've been through they're very resilient because they've been through so much war and famine and all this shit. That was the only part that was mildly interesting to me about this episode was like the commentary on like Russia and Russians that they, you know, kind of almost did.
Yeah, they're really into Russia.
I know.
In this
yeah.
season.
Joel is kind of a communist.
Well,
I would say he's more of a socialist.
His family's from Russia. He talks about his grandma leaving Russia or something, escaping the Soviet Union, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they lay it on real thick with the Cold War stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. And also how, like, because, and this is the thing that's annoying, is that it always comes back to, just like the other episode we watched that was literally about Russia. It always comes back to, yeah, but capitalism's better because higher quality seats on planes
yeah.
and planes take off on time. And I don't know how capitalism affects that really, but that's sort of the message that you're supposed to end up with, I feel
yeah.
like.
Joel's seat breaks and it won't go up. So that's why it's called Full Upright Position, the title of the episode.
Yep.
They get on the plane. And actually, the most important thing about this episode that we have to discuss, Jen, is that you were right.
Oh.
Maggie and Joel.
Yeah. What the? Oh, my God. Okay. if you are a regular listener to our show, and if you heard our last Northern Exposure episode, at the end or toward the end of that episode, I said, I think that they're a couple. I think that they are supposed to be a couple. They've been supposed to be a couple this whole time, is what I said.
But it's weird. And
there's
Micah
no... was like, fuck you, you're crazy. He said that to me on this podcast.
I don't... Well, that's not true, I don't
Go
think.
Back to that episode. Listen to it, because that's what you said to me. And it turns out I was right. And it has been weird and awkward, and you don't ever see them together. And when they are together, they're bickering.
Yeah, but
and
they're not even affectionate.
No,
and there's been no
like
sleeping over. There's been no...
I know.
It's weird. And so I thought in previous seasons they had been together and then they broke up and then they got back together and then they broke up and it seemed
yeah.
like they were just friends.
Yeah. But yeah, so they are a couple, everyone.
But
and they
also,
did get engaged at the end of this episode.
Marry me.
What?
You should marry me. We should get married.
Fleischman.
I don't know what else to do. I'm asking you to marry me.
Are you serious?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You see? I feel bad. I do. That's great.
Oh, shut up, Lashman.
We've acknowledged that this show has timeline issues and continuity issues, mostly with Chris's hair.
Thank you, because that's what I actually thought you were going to say when you were like, there's only one important thing about this episode, is Chris's hair is super short again.
He had short hair again.
Very short.
Yeah.
I don't remember how it was last, but anyway, it's short now.
Except
they don't really, do they end up engaged or do they just decide to back off a little bit and move in together?
No, they get engaged, but then right at the end of the episode, they decide just to move in together.
Yeah.
But on the plane, so they get on this plane, Joel has a conference, he's going to give a big talk, and he says, Maggie, why don't you come with me? Significant others can come, that's like totally okay, and it'd be great, and we'll go to St. Petersburg, and she's excited. So they get on this plane, it's broken down and old, they actually... While they're sitting there, they take the fucking wing off, apparently.
And also, there's no food. They run out of food.
They run out of food because they sleep on the plane. They're there all night, and the plane doesn't move. It doesn't
Why
leave.
In the fuck did they not get off the plane was what I kept asking
I don't know.
Out loud and internally.
So, and they keep talking about how they should have flown Air Alaska.
Yeah, which is not a thing. It's Alaska Airlines.
Apparently they can't say Alaskan Airlines or Alaska Airlines. I don't know. Anyway, the plane never moves. They sit there.
No one
on the plane speaks English.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's flying out of Alaska.
I was furious. Absolutely every flight attendant, at the very least, would speak English on that plane.
She says, like, two words in English.
That's the world we live in. Like, people speak English, and particularly people who travel around the world. Like,
not in the 90s, Jen.
Yes, in the 90s.
Plane fulls of Russians flying to Alaska, didn't speak a word of English. Wandering around.
Ridiculous.
It's because, Jen, everyone in Alaska speaks Russian, so it was fine.
Yeah.
They don't need to learn English.
Well, you know, Sarah Palin can see Russia from her house, and so I'm sure she's fluent. I don't know what they were doing with this episode. It was so stupid. It made me angry.
It felt like a bottle episode,
yeah,
in a way.
Kind of.
Except it's Northern Exposure, so they have to have three plots going on.
Here's the thing, though, is that they sat there for like 8 hours or so, is my guess. And then as soon as the plane was finally about to take off, they get off the fucking plane.
Well, because they get in a huge fight and they hate each other. And they're pissed off at each other because Joel's a whiny little brat all the time. He's complaining about shit constantly. Like, he's the only one that's affected by this. And Maggie's like, I just need some time away from you because you're so obnoxious and annoying. And then they make up and they're like, I'm so sorry. And he says, like, we should get married.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what we are. This isn't working.
Trope,
we need to get married.
It's that trope where it's like, this relationship sucks. Let's get married.
And she says yes. And they say, fuck this. Let's get off the plane.
But,
and they run out.
So, okay.
The plane's about to take off.
It makes no... he was going to miss the conference he was supposed to speak at. Fine. That's a reason. But they also have talked a bunch about, like, wanting to travel. Like, she had talked about wanting to see Russia and wanting to have these experiences. And why the fuck would you suddenly decide... Let's get married and not do that.
Because this you probably didn't know about. Between 1994 and 1996, foreigners weren't allowed to do it in Russia. So they wanted to go home and have sex right away because they just realized that they were going to get married. And there's that whole, like, Boris Yeltsin was like, no sex for foreigners.
I wish they would have talked about that. It would have made a lot more sense. Because as it was fucking stupid. I mean, you basically already summed it up in your plot synopsis, but I will say the reason that this episode sucked, one of the reasons, is because there was no Marilyn at all.
Yeah, zero Marilyn.
And almost no Ed. Ed shows up to quote Field of Dreams, which was very cute.
Yeah, he helps Chris a little bit.
Because he loves movies,
as
you all know.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, and Chris's thing could have been interesting. Chris did a Field of Dreams, basically. If you build it, they will come. He got himself inside electricity. Whatever. Nobody cares. He built a big magnet. I don't know.
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't
involve anyone else. Like, Chris is best when he's talking to other people. But in this one, he got shocked by the microphone at the radio station. And then,
he decided to do a Field of Dreams with electricity.
Sisley, good turnout for art. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're here to honor electricity. The charge that charges what? everything, right? From those electrons that's snapping in our brains to our father, the sun. I mean, what's the sun? It's kind of like a brain. Electromagnetic fields, solar flares, like sparking back and forth from those nerve cells. We're all one. Folks, giant blobs of electricity, all of us.
He built something in his trailer that exploded, and he had all these, like, you know, mad scientist electricity experiments going on, and then he decided to build a giant electromagnet on a truck and wear a silver LeMay
Evel
Knievel suit. Mm-hmm. He sits in a bathtub. Ed cranks it all up, and
it lifts him off the ground.
The bathtub has, like, metal poles welded to it with a plate on top, and it flies up in the air.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the end of that. Okay.
But the Maurice thing.
The only other thing I have to say about it is Maurice sucks, and I don't like him, and that's all.
It was dumb.
It's not his nephew. It's like his cousin.
Yeah. But it's from the lazy side of the family.
Whatever.
The Duttons.
I mean,
He yells at him because he fucks up an order. He's going to be his... Maurice doesn't have any kids, so he needs someone to take over his multi-million-dollar operation. So he's training this kid, and he fucks up an order on the first day, and he yells at him, and he quits and gets a job at the gas station across the street.
It's so boring.
That's the whole thing.
Who cares? Okay, next episode is called Up River.
Yes.
Now, this one was much more interesting to me. And, I mean, because after that last one, I was like, if this is the direction we're headed, if episodes now are going to feel like this, I'm not going to get through this whole season.
Yeah. And this one got back on the track.
Weird
structure, though. Very odd structure. It had, like, weird flashbacks. It's all from Joel's perspective of telling these different stories that intertwine.
But I feel like that happens all the time on this show. Like,
yeah, but it was just, it's jarring when you're watching them back to back. I feel like
episode 7 was like out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. I don't know what was going on there. It was like, I actually feel terrible about how long we spent talking about it. Like, I'm going to try to cut at least half of that.
All right. So this one starts with Maurice pissed off and he's got
Maurice
a map of a
sucks.
River and he's saying, telling Ed, you have to go get Fleischman because Joel got called 2 weeks ago to a birth way up this river in a little tribal village.
Uh-huh.
A native village.
The natives, he keeps saying.
The natives are up here.
To Ed, who is a native person, but okay.
So, and then he never came back. Joel never came back. So Ed has to go get him. So Ed gets in a canoe with an outboard motor. It's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah.
Goes up river. And then he finds Joel in this, like, super primitive little, it's not even a village,
like,
really.
It's super primitive. They have cabins and
right, but
they
no,
don't have electricity,
no electricity
or running water.
I guess
it is pretty primitive, yeah.
So they have
but
these
cabins.
But
they don't want those things. Like, the guy specifically says they don't want those things.
And Joel, in 2 weeks, he's already learned the language. He's learned how to tan hides. Dry salmon, mm-hmm. cut them and hang them, mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He knows all the tribal customs and speaks
jarring,
the fucking language fluently.
Like dried berries or preserves or something. He's doing all this stuff. He's trying to put together a sled dog team before winter comes. He makes some comment about how he's going to do that. So Ed's like, well, Maurice is really pissed. Why don't you come back? And he's like, I'm not coming back. This is what I do now. This is where I live. He's been there 2 weeks. It's a little dramatic. Joel's a little dramatic. So I guess it fits.
Yeah. So then basically Joel goes into a whole thing where he tells.
Oh, wait. We didn't do a 30-second synopsis for this one.
I think that's
okay.
It's
your turn.
No, I don't care. I don't want to.
Okay.
So Joel tells Ed the whole story about how. Why he stayed there, which has to do with him and Maggie. Maggie basically broke up with him after a series of things happened. One of which was a conversation about a cast iron skillet where he says something about how cast iron will rust. And she says, who cares? And the note I took on that was like, oh my God, they're us. This episode, I am Maggie and you are Joel. But anyway, so basically what happened is... A bunch of guns went off. Every time they started messing around, a gun would go off.
So he's doing the dishes, scrubbing out that pan, because they just had their first like meal together in their house that they're living in together.
Right, and that's what it was. That's right. So she's like, she comes in, and she's like trying to get him to mess around. And he's like, oh, I have to wash this, it'll rust. And she's like, who gives a fuck? Like, let's, you know, whatever. And
he's like, okay. And they go in the bedroom. They tumble on the bed. And, and a fucking shotgun that's laying next to the bed,
yeah,
loaded,
goes off.
Just goes off and shoots out a lamp. And the lamp explodes and there are fucking holes, huge holes in the wall.
Yeah.
And he freaks out and Maggie's like, oh, it's no big deal. It just went off.
That's just my gun. It
my
is
bad.
Weird that she doesn't care at all. But yeah, so that.
And he keeps making comments about like these terrible weapons and I can't believe you have this in the house. And
right.
She's like, it's the last one.
Like,
I'm going to get rid of it.
Well, and she's like, it's Alaska, Joel. Like, you know, of course I have a gun. Like. But, you know, that said, also, she could put it in a fucking gun safe or something.
Yeah. So the next night, they're sitting
yeah.
on the couch,
mm-hmm.
and they start making out, and Hayden
yeah.
shoots through the window.
Hayden, who is
them.
A guy who lives in this town, who
yeah.
we've seen a few times.
Big old
yeah.
handyman, small-time criminal.
Kind of a dumbass. He shoots their window out.
He peeks in. He's like, hey, sorry, everybody okay? And Joel's yeah. pissed off.
Right. And Maggie's like, ah.
Yeah, Maggie's like, let's keep doing it.
Which again is weird. I mean, yeah, like he wants to fix the window. It's Alaska. It's going to be really fucking cold.
Yeah, he's like, we have to fix the window. Aren't you worried about the cold air getting in? There's glass everywhere,
yeah.
and some critters, some like rodents, could get in and crawl through. Aren't you worried about that? And she's like, no,
not really. I mean, again, like she lives in a tiny town in Alaska. Like, so I guess if you're going to live in a town like that, then you probably aren't worried about that shit. Like,
and she wants to have sex.
And yeah, she's like, let's be spontaneous and like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so then the next night they finally bone.
Yep.
But then,
it's not very good because Joel.
It's not great.
He's so nervous and paranoid about a gun going off.
Exactly. Yeah. It's actually very funny because Maggie. They see each other later and Maggie's like, oh, don't apologize. It's fine. I'm not expecting.
He's like,
she says, I'm not expecting the Kama Sutra.
This isn't about my sexual prowess, he says. He
but
talks.
It,
he's such
yes,
a fucking nerd.
It absolutely is about his sexual prowess.
This isn't about my sexual prowess.
That's what this whole fucking thing is about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he the morning after they actually hook up, he discovers that there had been another gunshot.
He goes
shot through a window of his office.
Yeah,
at
he goes
work.
Into his office, and we see Marilyn
we
for
see Marilyn
1 second.
For 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off. In all caps, I had written just before this, where the fuck is Marilyn? And then she shows up, and I was so stoked, and that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
So he walks into his office, and Eugene is there fixing the window. And he's like, I'm so sorry about your window, Dr. Fleischman. And he's like, what are you talking about? What
oh,
happened?
Oh, yeah, this part. This
he's
is great.
Like, well, my dad has this old musket hanging above the fireplace. And
he
last
collects
night,
old, like, war
at
stuff.
At 11:05, when David Letterman was doing the monologue, and he's like,
yeah.
wait, what time was it?
Yes,
11:05,
oh, my God.
Right
yes,
when they were doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The gun just goes off.
Yeah.
And it shoots through the wall, out of their house, through Fleischman's window, into his desk. And then Eugene digs it out with a knife, and he's like,
hey, Dr. Fleischman, here it is. Wow. 69 caliber. Good thing you weren't sitting here last night.
69 caliber.
Nice. Yeah. They definitely did that
on
purpose.
Because it was during sex.
Yeah, they, yeah. It was, well, I was going to say it was kind of subtle, but I don't know.
It was as subtle as a 69 joke can be.
Yes, that's right. And I thought it was pretty funny. So Joel, who is like of a science mind and doesn't believe in any woo-woo kind of shit, is now convinced
yeah.
that, like, the universe basically is trying to send them a message or something.
Look, it happened again. Do you realize that every single time that you and I are physically intimate, a gun goes off?
Oh, Joel.
Okay, let me get this right. You think that our having sex is causing guns to go off?
I know. There was a time that I would never entertain a notion like this, but I don't know what to say. Here we are. This is not a coincidence. Twice is a coincidence. Three times is... Well, you know, three times is, as far as I'm concerned, by design.
So he takes it. See, I think this is interesting that how he interprets this. To me, I feel like, isn't there something exciting about, like, you know, like the bit of like danger and like explosion of like your
well, yeah.
love? Isn't that maybe? I mean, I'm just saying you could look at it as kind of like a good sign.
And Maggie does.
Right.
They talk about this. He's like, wait a second. You're getting off on this.
She thinks...
This turns you on.
she thinks it's kind of cool, and yeah. he thinks it's a sign that they absolutely should not be together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, after all this shit, she breaks up with him, and he finally comes to her, and he's like, "I know I need to like loosen up more, and I need to like, you know, be less controlled and controlling, and I'm working on it. I'm going to work on it." And she's like,
"Look, you hold on to everything so tightly that your knuckles are white, and I need somebody who can let go a little.
I need somebody who, you know,
yeah." And she's in tears.
Like you.
And she buys him a cashmere vest. It's fucking hideous.
So then he goes to this birth. He goes to this village. And he decides he wants to live there and live this simple, beautiful life with no technology whatsoever or connection to the outside world. And he just falls in love with it. And there's a really funny part where he asks a man who lives there.
So you ever going to put electricity in here? Uh-huh. What about running water?
Nope.
Oh. Telephone?
Nope.
At that moment, the experiences of the last week coalesced. To find myself, I had to throw off the external trappings of my life.
Is it okay if I live here?
And the guy's like,
I guess.
Really funny. And so then, yeah, he learns to tan hides suddenly and all that other stuff. And Ed shows up to pick him up. Ed being a native person. And I did kind of like the way they flipped the script on this. I mean, it was basically it's Joel doing all this like indigenous stuff. And Ed has no idea about any of it.
Yeah.
Dr. Fleischman, what are you doing?
I'm softening the hide, Ed, so I can use it. Isn't that what you do?
Oh, I don't know. I never softened any hides.
You know, he doesn't know how to tan hides. He doesn't know how to do any of those things. And Ed kind of feels bad about that. He's like, man.
Well, when like, Ed
I
first
know
shows
how to
up.
Do this stuff, but Ed loves movies. That's what Ed loves. Ed had just been to the Banff Film Festival. Like, he's talking about, like, Quentin Tarantino and shit. And
Joel tells
it's
him,
cool.
like, don't, it's not a big deal. You've never done this before. It's fine. Like, it's cool that Joel's like that. He's not like, what, you don't know how to do this? He's like, oh, it's fine. Don't make a big deal.
But at some point, I think he does say.
He asks
like,
him. He's
I'm
like,
surprised
oh,
you don't know how
I'm
to do this.
I'm surprised you don't know how to do this. But he's not. He doesn't give him a hard time about it.
Yeah.
When Ed first shows up, he gets off out of his canoe, and this guy comes up to him and is like, kind of asking him, like, what the fuck are you doing here? Who are you? Get out of here in like the native language. And Joel comes up and says basically fluently, like, it's okay. It's okay. He's with me. It's fine. And Ed's just like, what? I don't speak that. Huh?
I mean,
they
just
lay it
so
on a little thick.
There's
but
no way that Joel could obviously could speak fluently, whatever language they were speaking. But it just so happens that he understands everything that's said to him.
Jen,
in this episode, and can respond to it.
It's been two whole weeks, Jen.
Yeah, I mean, fuck.
So when Ed leaves, because he leaves and doesn't bring Joel back, that's the end of the episode. He, like, takes off. Mm. Ed, Joel says to him, tell Maggie I think about her.
Every day. Not
it's
a day goes by that I don't think about her.
Two weeks.
Yeah.
So 14 whole days since you broke up and broke off your engagement? Wow, dude.
I feel like I was actually glad when they broke up, and I don't know where it's going because I don't know if you know this. I was in a therapeutic boarding school in Montana for 2 years, and when this season was on, I wasn't around. I don't know if I would have been watching it, but I do remember watching some of this show because I think my mom really liked it. So anyway, what was my point? Oh, yeah. I was happy that when they broke up, which is rare for me. Usually I'm all in on the will they, won't they,
yeah,
like storylines in shows like this. Like, I'm on board. Like, anytime there's like tons of sexual tension between people and you can tell they're into each other, I'm like, please, yes, let's do it. With them, it's like this Sam and Diane situation that shouldn't happen, is how it feels
right.
to me.
There's this opposites attract thing.
Yes.
The difference is, I love
sometimes that works.
Sam and Diane. I'm not a huge Shelley Long fan, and it's partially that character. Like, Diane is grating and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Sam Malone has a lot of charisma, though.
Yeah.
In this show, Joel's obnoxious as fuck.
Yeah.
Maggie's okay.
Yeah, that is definitely part of it.
There's not a lot of chemistry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the opposites attract thing doesn't work when they don't even like each other or have anything in common.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's what it is. It's just like,
They're both the, like, hot leads of the show.
Yeah. Well,
so they're supposed to be together.
Here's a thing that I was thinking about and writing about while watching this. Chris lives in this fucking town. He's played by John Corbett. He's hot. He is so, so hot. I mean, like, he's a very, very, very attractive man. He's exactly the kind of person that Maggie says she needs.
Yeah, she says she wants somebody that can let go. And...
I don't get why they're not together, except that, I mean, honestly, the only reason is because the show is about Joel. So it's annoying to me.
Yeah.
They could have made that a side plot. Like, the main plot could have just been Joel, like, in this little town with, like, indigenous people and him learning new things and, like, having his horizons expanded or what the fuck ever without the love interest for him. Maggie and Chris could have been a side, like, will they, won't they storyline that would have been great.
It would have been way more interesting.
It would have been
so
much better.
Because John Corbett is capable of having chemistry with another human being.
Hey, you don't like Rob Morrow?
He's just in this.
I like Rob Morrow.
He's so obnoxious. He's so whiny. And he's playing that like.
Jewish, Micah? Is that what you're trying to say?
He's playing the neurotic, like New York.
Jewish dude.
Jewish dude.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
But he's also insufferable. And
I don't find him as insufferable as you do.
I find him as insufferable as Maggie does.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense that they would be
together. No, it doesn't. And Chris is right there.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, what the hell?
Joel goes to Chris. So one of the other subplots is Chris decides to build this enclosed
like
patio thing outside of his trailer. He lives in a little, like, old Airstream
looks like
type
an Airstream,
trailer.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an Airstream, but it looks like that. It's little and round, and he's going to build this patio that's like three times bigger than it. Mm. And he's talking about how in the summer he can sit out there and have a beer. So he needs a sink and he needs this and
mini
he has to have some food and a mini fridge. So he's there with
a
contractor. Basically, the contractor doesn't show up one day. And then the next day he fucks everything up and floods his trailer. And Chris fires him and gets pissed off and screams and like. Then he's like, what am I going to do? And Joel comes to visit and sees him. And Chris explains, like, he's like, oh, I thought you fired your contractor, but he's back. And he's like, hey, man, I just got to let it go. I got to let go of everything and be open to the universe.
Exactly.
And Joel he goes back to tell Maggie this and she breaks up with him. And she's describing Chris.
Yeah,
He's describing what Chris told him to be like.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What the fuck?
Let go, dude. Let go. I got into a hole. I went down my own fucking rabbit hole during this episode. Basically, Chris goes through, has this whole epiphany. Chris is wonderful. I love Chris. I would absolutely be trying to fucking date Chris if I were Maggie in this situation. Like, he is interesting. He's smart. He can be a little insufferable, too, because he's constantly thinking about, like, the big questions and philosophy and the universe and all that shit. And sometimes, you know, like, that can be a little much if that's, like, all a person is about. But he is convinced that the universe is trying to teach him a lesson, and the lesson is to let go.
Thing is, Joel, what's a house? It's a metaphor, right, for the mind. Isn't that what it's all about? You gotta tear down the old before you can build the new. You know, you gotta lose your mind before you can find it. Universe whacked my house. It was really whacking my mind. It was saying, let go. Give up, man. Throw out all those old plans and stick your face in the here and now.
Also, he offers Joel an orangeade. When Joel comes over, and I wrote, that is not what you offer a grown man. You don't offer a grown man who comes to visit you an orange.
And he had beer.
It was real weird. It's like you would offer a person like a beer or a glass of water. Like, you, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
An orange. What even is an orange?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like sort of like a sun-kissed.
An orange soda?
Soda. Anyway, back to my point, which is this. I want to tell you how I feel about the universe and the concept that the universe is trying to teach us lessons. So fucking buckle up.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm down. Go for it.
Actually, I'll just read my notes. The idea that the universe gives a shit about any of us is so fucking stupid. The universe doesn't give a fuck about us. We are nothing. That's the point. That's why we should let go. Okay, that's why we should let go was not in my notes. I just added that just now. But we are nothing. We don't matter. Nothing we do matters, and nothing that happens to us matters. We learn to let go, not because the universe is trying to teach us a lesson, but because we must let go. Because there's no point in holding on to shit, because there's no point in anything.
Maybe that's the lesson the universe is trying to teach you, Jen.
Fuck off.
To let go of your ego.
Does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely.
And read? Because that's how I feel. And I guess really it's like it's the same thing, however you look at it. It's like, sure, if you want to believe that the universe gives a fuck about you and is trying to teach you specifically a lesson, okay, you can believe that. But really,
there was a real hard eye roll there. If you guys didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. But the lesson, regardless, you're going to learn the same lesson is what I'm trying to say. So fine, if that's how you want to get to it. But the lesson is the same, which is let go of all this stupid shit that doesn't matter. Like, let go of your fucking cast iron skillet. Let go of, I don't know, of your trailer flooding, I guess. I mean,
have sex and get shot.
Have
it
sex
doesn't
and
matter.
Get shot because you might
you
as
matter.
Well. Yeah. Anyway.
There's one other plot that we need to talk about that was actually kind of cute.
Oh, I mean, was it? It was like, whatever.
But I think it was also interesting because it's about Ruth Ann, who owns the shop, and Walt, who I don't know what he does. He's a trapper, apparently.
I don't know. This whole time I thought they were a couple.
Exactly.
I thought they were a couple this whole time. Yeah, because, yeah.
And they weren't.
They do couples real
what
weird on this show. Like, they don't, it's unusual the way,
So Walt goes out to get his trap lines. It's like before winter, everybody has to go out and get their trap lines. And he goes out to do that, and Ruth Ann says goodbye to him. And then she realizes she goes to Joel to see him because she's not feeling well. She's forgetting things. She's acting weird. And she's like, I know what's going on. I'm in love with Walt, and I don't want to be. And
well,
this is stupid. I don't want to do it.
And the assumption was, like, my assumption was she has dementia. I thought we were going down this, like, I mean, she's old.
She's like 71, I think he says.
No,
yeah.
She's much older than that. But anyway, we're supposed to think she has dementia.
She's 71.
No, I know. I'm saying she seems much older than that. But
in 1990, 71 was like 85.
This wasn't 1990.
In 1994.
Six.
1996.
I think. Wait, no, four. It would have been four.
Okay, let me do the math again.
Actually, I don't fucking know. When was this? We're only watching one season, and it's the last season, and it's the only one that happened while I was gone, so it must be 94, right? Like, that's the only math that makes sense.
Deep analysis. Research. The universe doesn't give a fuck about you.
Commentary.
We don't know when this show was from.
That's right. Okay, well, that wraps us up for this week. Thank you for joining us on this journey through Northern Exposure.
It is cute, though, at the end, because Walt shows up.
Yeah.
She sends messages over the radio
to say she loves him and come home or some shit.
And he shows up in a suit.
He shows up in a suit, which is very cute. Yes.
And she invites him in for tea, and that's it.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's whatever. Like, it was sweet. It was fine. It was like, I don't really care, but it's fine.
So they kind of leave it in a weird place where Joel's now living up the river. And
right.
So I am predicting
what's your prediction?
Episode, it's going to open like none of that ever happened.
Yeah.
And Joel is just back in the doctor's office.
Yep.
Somebody has a weird rash. And that's
I bet
gonna
that
be
they
it.
Will talk about it, though, if that is the case where he's just back. There will be references to it, but it will not be. It will just be he's back. Like,
yeah.
I kind of agree.
And Chris's hair will be, I think,
like a medium
length. Right side of his head will be short, and the left side will be long and like over one eye.
You know whose hair makes me so angry that I feel it in my body?
Don't tell me. I'm really trying to think who's...
Boy. I mean, it's a character we haven't talked about at all and wasn't in these two episodes very much at all.
Oh, wow. It's not going to come to me then. Oh, Yes, hauling.
That's correct. Yes. Ding, ding, fucking ding.
Because it's gross and weird.
It's awful. He's long. An old man married to a very young woman, which, by the way, love happens in all different kinds of ways. And,
we were just watching some other show and you were defending the person.
I was. I don't know, man. You never know. Like, people fall in love.
But it's always an old dude.
I know.
And a teenage girl.
I know. It's weird. But whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying I don't claim to understand other people's love and relationships.
I also don't claim to understand hauling weird long comb over.
I claim to understand it as being fucking disgusting. It's Trump horrible.
Pile.
It's horrible. His hair. It's like a Beatles cut.
It does look kind of like a Prince Valiant thing, but it's not even that short. It's like curled around and wrapped around his head.
It's terrible. It makes me very physically upset and angry. So, yeah.
And he's just kind of a weird
dude. Yeah, I don't like... He's dude. A boring... There are a few characters that I just really don't like or care about. Maurice, I don't care about. Hauling, I don't care about.
This Maurice makes is just me a seem rich asshole.
Like, ageist, maybe, because it's like the old dudes. But, I mean, I like Ruth Ann. I care about her a little bit. I don't care about Walt, really, I guess. I don't know. I guess I don't like old dudes.
Ruth...
Old white dudes.
Not Ruth. Maurice's thing that annoys me is that he has... Like the redemption arc that the old rich asshole would go through on a whole show. He does it every episode.
Kind of,
dick to somebody.
He's a dick, and then he's like...
And then he sees their perspective, and then he has
kinda.
To, like, eat crow and kind of apologize
sometimes.
But he
never really does, you know?
Yeah.
He just is not... I don't know. I just don't care. I don't find him interesting or compelling in any way. I find Marilyn so fucking interesting and compelling, and Ed... And it makes me so upset when they are not in the episodes very much. I mean, I honestly think, I feel like the indigenous characters on this show are the absolute heart of the show. So, I mean, and Ed was in this, in episode 8, Ed was in it quite a bit, but he was mostly like listening to Joel tell his story, you know? Anyway, they're the people that I find, like, I would love a whole Marilyn episode. Just give me some Marilyn. Yeah. Tell me about her family. Tell me about her life. Like, the one where she's telling the story, well, I guess that was the Russian episode. But see, she wasn't even in it that much.
No.
That episode needs Marilyn in it.
It'd be interesting if we had gone back and watched all the previous seasons. I wonder if there were, I'm sure there probably were Marilyn-centric episodes more.
I mean, I hope.
And maybe
there
will be. We have a lot of episodes to go, so.
Yeah.
I hope there will be more.
I mean, I sure hope she'll be in it more than she was in these two. I get worried every time she's not in it that I'm like, oh, she's leaving the show.
Right.
Or she wasn't on it very much anymore because, I don't know, for whatever reason. Anyway. So we got to wrap this up. As far as Montana stuff goes this week, you asked me if I had anything to talk about. I don't really.
Did it bring back a lot of memories when Joel was spearfishing with that?
Yeah, I did a lot of spearfishing.
A lot of spearfishing.
No, we didn't do any spearfishing.
In the river?
Nor did we tan hides.
Hmm.
And actually, we had electricity and running water when we lived in the cabins.
Did you have sled dogs?
When we moved into tents, though. Did not have those things.
Digging a hole in the snow to poop in?
Absolutely. And you wipe with snow. It's very refreshing, actually. Have you ever done that?
No.
Yeah, it's cool.
Raise your hand if you've done that.
Raise your hand if you've ever pooped in the like dug a hole under the snow, pooped in it, wiped your ass with poop. Not wipe your ass. Don't wipe your ass with poop, you guys.
That's bad.
That's going to make it just real messy.
That's the opposite
it's going to spread
it
all
do.
Around. No, yeah. You want. You want to use the snow, actually.
This isn't a like an instructional podcast about how to go camping
well,
in the snow.
Well, not usually, but it is right now. It is.
Actually, it's not right now either.
No,
because
it
you just said
is.
Wipe your butt with poop.
No, but I meant snow.
They know.
Wipe with snow or use like soft fur cones. Those work really well as long as you go the right direction.
Yeah, which direction do you go?
Well, people can probably figure that out on
what
their
happens
own.
If you go the wrong direction? Do the seeds get up in there and a tree
grows
inside you?
Because I've never done that.
Mm.
Because that's ridiculous. So anyway, my intention was not to talk about poop, believe it or not. I was just thinking about trauma. I've been thinking about trauma, I guess, and how just how it kind of, it's just like sometimes I'm really aware of it and connected to it. Like when I'm writing about it more, I feel more connected to it, or when we're talking about it more or whatever. But I've been so disconnected from it lately. And I feel like the cognizance of your trauma kind of comes and goes in these weird waves.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it affects you is always there. And mm-hmm. so the things that happen, like in relationships
mm-hmm.
and in all kinds of life situations, are still connected to it. But you're not – it's not like I'm always thinking – oh, yeah. Well, this is because of Montana. You know, I respond this way because of what happened in Montana or whatever. You know, like, it's just interesting how, like, yeah. subconscious so much of it is.
And you have these big, like, possibly triggering events that are solitary events where things come back, or you're working on it a lot and you're writing about things mm-hmm. and you're processing things and working on it a lot. But then, yeah. When you aren't thinking about it and when you don't think it's affecting you,
yeah.
it's still, there's this layer underneath that's affecting how you think and react to everything all
that's
the
right.
time.
Yeah, because it was such a big part of what shaped, you know,
yeah.
me emotionally, and especially, like, I think how I think a lot of it has to do with how I feel about myself emotionally, and then what I need from other people as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And anyway, yeah. So it's just I've just been thinking about that. It's interesting to me. I mean, it's interesting that, like, 30 years later, it's not 30 years, but might as well be. It's like 26 years later. Like, they're still fucking things up for me. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't really blame them at this point. It's like, I gotta get, like, I'm responsible for my own feelings and my own reactions and blah, blah, blah. I understand all that. But, like, those people really affected a lot of the ways that I react. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's it. So we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for joining us and sticking with us through Northern Exposure. I hope you're having fun with it. If it's boring.
There's a lot more.
I mean, if you hate it, let us know, for real. Like, we're not going to have hurt feelings or anything.
We'll sprinkle in some movies every once in a while. Hopefully movies that are available on streaming, because this show is not available anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you go to your local public library, they probably have
you
it on
might
DVD.
You might be able to find DVDs, exactly. Because apparently we do still live in the 90s, in spite of the fact that that's what this whole podcast is about.
They would have been, like,
is there
VHS,
some,
though.
Is there some then. Meaning there?
How many VHS would it take to do the whole season?
Oh, I thought you were going to say to screw in a light bulb. And
a
I was going to be like,
that'd be really difficult.
A bunch, but, you know, if you turn it the wrong way, then the film all comes out.
Okay.
The tape all comes out.
Yeah,
like a,
I don't
like
even
a cassette
know how
tape.
To respond to any of that.
Well, you know how you screw in a light bulb?
No,
it's like,
I got that. It's just the whole film thing and, like, what are you doing? Are you putting the light bulb in
not
the
film? It's not film. It's tape.
In the VHS?
Like, yeah.
Reel? Like,
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I was picturing
spool.
Like a VHS tape, like a light bulb that goes into one of the sides of a VHS tape.
What does
tape.
It do in there, Jen? Why?
It's screwing in.
Why?
Like, imagine a lamp. This is actually a good idea. A lamp that is a VHS tape where you have two light bulbs, you know, that screw in to the...
All right. I
okay.
think we have a lot of other stuff to talk about.
If... off of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got stuff to work out before we
like
come back next
maybe
week.
Let's start with the definition of good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening so much. And we really, really, really do appreciate it. Let us know you're out there.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. Okay. So thanks again. And thanks to Graham McCray for our artwork.
Thank you to Fee-Fi Folios for our internet stuff.
Thanks to Minus Violet for our music.
Until next time.
See you
in
the
90s. 90s.